Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM Sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Step into a world where ancient wisdom meets modern mysticism. Introducing the Gnostic Tarot, a powerful fusion of esoteric art and Gnostic themes designed for those who seek the ultimate gnosis. This mesmerizing deck, rich in symbolism, draws from the profound teachings of Gnosticism, serving as an ideal companion for meditation, reflection, and the exploration of spiritual realms. Whether you are a seasoned tarot enthusiast or new to the practice, the Gnostic Tarot caters to all, offering a portal to ancient wisdom and a tool for uncovering the hidden truths in your mystical journey. Unveil the mysteries, embrace the wisdom. The Gnostic Tarot is a timeless companion for your spiritual odyssey. Take a journey with Gnostic luminaries and learn their stories in a visually stunning manner. From Sophia to the Gnostic Christ, their journey is your self-discovery. Choose from the basic deck or the deluxe version, which includes a beautifully crafted journey book and a magnetic storage box, ensuring that your Gnostic Tarot remains a treasured companion on your spiritual quest. The Gnostic Tarot is an original and collaborative effort between Miguel Connor of Aeon by Gnostic Radio and Matthew Schmitz of Altrusian Grace Media. Visit our website to embark on your journey today. Synkrasis Publishing, where ancient wisdom and modern mysticism converge. Get thee thy Gnostic Tarot. Get thee thy tools in your... And put them in your spiritual toolbox, because we need all the help we can get as we try to untangle the matrix. And that's why you've come here. And our topic today is relevant to understanding the cadence and attacks of the archons and other denizens of the higher spiritual realms. And let's not forget the Wetiko in our brains, the mind parasites. But yes, this is the good news, because we have the tools, we have the way to fight. So welcome to Aeon Byte. My name is Miguel Connor, and I am your Pompadus of Gnosis. So good to see everybody on this moon day. And I hope for those of you like me up in the north and northeast, I hope you're handling the brutal heat that's visiting us and everything that comes with it. And today I am very excited to have for the first time someone whose book I really enjoy, and a book that is very important and relevant today. The book is Psychic Self-Defense and the Zodiac, and our guest is Yeti Yakubian. Yeti, thank you very much for coming on the show.
Thanks so much for having me. It's an honor.
Pleasure is all ours. And with us too, we've got, yes, a fighter of Demdar Archons, and that is the Moondog, Vance. Vance, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm fine. We don't give those Archons no quarter. And sounds like we're going to have another weapon in our arsenal against the beasts of the Kanoma.
Yep. I'll never be your beast of burden, Vance, as the stone saying, but we got to fight those beasts. Well, good to see everybody already running into the chat room. I see Astrak Foundation, or Anon Almost, as he calls himself, in our private meetings. I see Sean, Don Loristo, and I see other figures. As always, if you have any questions for Yeti, please super chat them so we can separate them and get them into a place where we can address your questions or complaints or whatever you have for us. Not much else in the housekeeping right now. Great shows coming up. Next week, Chris Knowles draws by to talk about synchromysticism and astronosis. This week, we should have a show where our guest relates Harry Potter to the Rose Cross, the Rosicrucians, and alchemy. And then Gnostic informant Neil will come with some new research on ancient comparative mythology and how academia once again has gotten it wrong. And many good shows coming for the rest of the month of Juno and Hera, and certainly in the month of July. So please support this show in any way you can. You can join as little as $1 a month on Patreon. I do have an Amazon wish list if anybody wants to help with equipment. And as always, yes, get the Gnostic Tarot. I've heard really good results from it. I know my wife exclusively uses it now. It has replaced her Crowley deck, and now she loves the Gnostic Tarot because she sees it's authentic. And it works. So let's get to the important stuff, and that is you, Yeti. Before we get into your book, tell the audience, how did you become a heretic, a witch, someone on the edge of town with the rest of us here?
Well, that's a tricky one to start. I think I pretty much came out of the womb this way. I've always been somewhat of a misfit, and I went to about 10 different schools growing up, and I was teased horribly in all of them and called a devil worshiper and all kinds of other savory things. And I, like so many other people, I'm sure, that follow your show, I had to go through what I call the school of hard knocks in life before I came to the realization that I had these certain gifts, and I had to be kind of punched around and go through a lot of different physical ailments, and I almost died several times. And as for my study of astrology, that skipped a couple of generations in my family, because I was raised actually as a Pentecostal Christian.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But my great, great grandmothers on my father's side, two of them actually, were both very spiritual people. And one of them, she was an astrologer, and she came from the old country. She escaped the Armenian genocide. And I heard a lot of different stories about her and what a feisty character she was, and how in many ways I'm like her, except maybe not as feisty, but it's definitely there. They always said nothing could kill her unless she got run over by a truck. And guess what? That's actually how she went out.
Get out of here.
Yeah. But I hear a lot of stories about her and how she had the scrolls and the telescopes and looking out at the stars, and how she would just meet someone in 5 minutes, guess their sign. And so, you know, I didn't really embrace astrology until after some of the hardships that hit me very hard, because even though I was becoming more and more open-minded to other religions and belief systems by the time I was a teenager, I wasn't there yet. You know, I was just seeking. I was trying to figure out my place in the world and what it all meant. And I was kind of a skeptic actually about astrology, because, you know, when you read the pink pages, it's just so superficial, you know, sun sign astrology. Oh, you know, it's like, I just thought it was fun, but funny. And I didn't really take it seriously at all. And the first book that actually got my attention was A Cosmic Science by Isabel Hickey, Astrology, A Cosmic Science. And when I read that book, I was like, maybe there's something to this after all. And I was in my early 20s at that time, or maybe I was 20. I don't remember now, but I just started doing the readings for myself and then my family and my friends. And then, yeah, the rest is history.
Very cool. And who would you say are some of your heroes or heroines or fremenies that shaped you or guided the path?
Well, there are also so many different, there's so many different people that inspired me, but I always had a hard time putting any of them on a pedestal, actually. I love so many different works and so many different books, and I really enjoy reading like old manuscripts and old, like, esoteric books, like, of course, the Manly P. Hall, you know, the secret teachings of all ages and things like that. But now that you're asking me, I'm sort of drawing a little blank. I know there are so many different books that have inspired me and so many different great teachers along the way that I've met or that I've read their works. And, but I always kind of had this tendency to take a few steps back afterward, because I think there's that tendency that I already have to deify people too much. So it's something I've had to learn, how to just take what resonates, as they say, and toss the rest.
Oh, exactly. Exactly. Or as I keep saying, we like them not because we knew them, but because they help us know ourselves. So people are flawed, they have shadows, and yes, they will eventually disappoint you, whether it's you read about them and then you find out some bio down the line, or you meet them in real life. But I see them as just lights on the journey, if you would, that help me get to the next step. And hopefully I can help somebody in the next step and they won't be dumb enough to look up to me. So if you think of them, yeah, let us know. But
I will.
So how did you come to write your book? I mean, as you say in your book, you were already talking to spirits, or they were visiting you. Both positive and negative spirits were coming at you. You obviously, your channels of communication were open. So was this a reason you wrote your book, or why did you decide this would be your maiden voyage as an author?
Well, that's another loaded question. And I would start by saying that I never really, in the beginning, consciously chose this path. Like so many other healers and people on, you know, what they call the shamanic path and whatever lineage or tradition, just the medicine way, you know, that perspective, I felt like I was dragged kicking and screaming. Honestly, I wouldn't in my right mind have chosen to be a reader and to delve into these realms the way that I felt sort of thrust into them. But I was always a seeker of truth, knowledge, God. And even when I was a child and I was taught the religious way of connecting with God, I was genuine with that too. And to a certain extent, I still am. I still think prayer is a powerful, instantaneous way to connect with the all, whatever, sure, by whatever name. I would say it's a combination of also the spirits that I felt harassed by, but also just meeting and encountering a lot of mean and bad people, you know, just coming into the world as this sort of green, very naive. I would say I was very extremely naive, and I was a late bloomer in a lot of different areas in my life, and a lot of it had to do with the religious upbringing. Some of it had to do with being bedridden for about 7 years and not really relating to people in the world until my late 20s. That's when I started coming out again and being like, oh my gosh, I don't know how to do this adulting thing, you know? So I was very naive, and a lot of people took advantage of that. And so I went from having a very rich spiritual life, again, the good, the bad, and the ugly. I wouldn't undo or you know, try to skip any of that. But I sometimes wish I could have skipped all the things with the people that I encountered.
Right.
But whatever doesn't kill you makes you stronger, can make you wiser. So.
Yeah, and it was meant to happen. It sent you on your path, and Yeah, when you look back, it makes sense. You see a pattern, I think, and everything comes together, and these things can be revisited, relived, and in many ways refocus and relearn. So what's the saying? Life has to be lived forward, but can only be understood backward. So it was, it is what it is. And I, like you, I wouldn't change a thing because it's always happening and it really hasn't happened. I know it's a weird paradox, but so why don't we get to the, as they say, I don't want to, I know I'm always giving my age away, the $64,000 question. I need to go ask my my Gen Alpha kids, what's the young hip translation for the $64,000 question? Because they're always teaching me how to speak and how do young people speak, except they still use the words dude and bro, like my 8-year-old. She's like, hey, bro, hey, dude. I'm like, that hasn't changed. Those, they're classic motifs and slang. People might be saying, what does astrology have to do with psychic self-defense? Why is this divination and self-knowledge tool going to help me with archon mind attacks and mental viruses? And like you say, nasty vampiric people out there.
Great question. You know, the first thing that people think of when they think of astrology is just, they think up there, out there, out in the stars above us. But as you Gnostics know, as above, so below. Oh, looks like, did the connection get lost for a minute? Okay, no, so as above, so below, and as within, so without. And so I think of astrology at this point in my life as relative to everything that we experience, negative, positive, neutral. And the relevance to psychic self-defense is simply that it's a tool that you can use to enhance your life experience, to empower yourself and your decisions, and to look at your blind spots, your weak spots, because that's where we get attacked. We don't get attacked where we're strong. I mean, sometimes we do, but usually it's where we're already ignorant or weak, and we make good fuel. We make a good, you know, sort of prey for something or someone. So the more we know, the more we, knowledge is power, the more we can take responsibility for our decisions instead of just going, bumping into one thing after another, going, oops, you know, that has its use and its value, but I mean, it's a tool. And so the reason why I think this is so important more and more is because people are becoming more aware, and we do live in an information age. And of course, that's a double-edged sword, and it has brought a lot of great opportunities, and then it's caused a lot of exploitation and, you know, just... It's definitely, we've seen a lot of ugly sides of that as well. But I just think that this is the time and the age, because as far as what is transiting astrologically, it's like the dial is being cranked up and it's just getting more and more intense these times that we're in. And it's not that we've never seen this before as a species, because astrology is all about time and cycles. Like, we've been here before in a different form, and we've seen this before, and it's just everything is like maybe slightly different variations, but it's all cyclic. And so I do go into that in the book as well.
Exactly. So what you would say, we are going through a time of great transition. So, of course, it's a great time for opportunity and to look inward, a time of stress for the psyche, a time for higher entities to take advantage. So you would agree with that? And can you compare it to another time in history, or what do you think?
Well, I wouldn't necessarily relate it to a single time in history. How I do it is I look at certain types of transits or certain types of conjunctions, you know, like when we had the conjunction in 2020, Saturn and Jupiter, or like when we have Neptune is about to enter Aries. You know, that's a big deal. When any of the so-called outer planets enter a sign, they are in that sign for quite an extended period. So the ramifications are very huge on a collective level. So you can look back in history to the last time that happened at certain degrees, if it was at a critical degree, you know. So that's how I approach that. There are times when I think, well, yes, we probably had similar technology, and that's all been erased as well. You know, it's so hard to say as far as exactly when.
And you think we're at a time of war coming up, or that's what a lot of astrologers are telling me.
Yes, I believe the way I see it, we are already in it. You know, we're at the onset of that war, and the war started as it's been talked about, the silent war, you know, the silent war on our minds, and then it's sprawling out. And of course, there's a lot of horrible violence in parts of the world that that have been actually, the wars have been going on for many years, like in the Middle East. Right. But people don't realize just how much this does affect all of us. Mm-hmm. And I saw the Pluto return of the United States as a big game changer and sign of things to come, yet to come in this country. Like, it's not necessarily going to remain the big superpower that it's been for a long time. So
empire, yeah, the hologram shifts, as Philip G. Dick said. And I was talking to a friend about this theories of generation wars, and he's talking about, was it fifth or sixth generation war, that before even the tanks roll in or out of this country, the war's already been won, because propaganda, mind control, psychic attacks, we're already been conquered before we can even reach for the rifle. So get ready for that one, oh, Americans and Westerners and all that, because we are being invaded from other realms and right here. So
exactly.
What are you going to do? Yeah, so as I say, wake up, go on the inner journey. What do you think, Vance, or do you have a question for Yidi?
Oh, I've got both things. First of all, it's if you're following at all, I'm not a big follower of modern events, however, but we've got inflation, we've got the threats to the dollar as reserve currency, we've got the war in Ukraine and this Russian sanctions, so forth. So there's plenty of evidence that, you know, there's kind of a economic war going on for sure. And as far as questions goes, I was wondering, my voice isn't cooperating tonight, excuse me. Can we use astrology to actually predict possibly who might be attacking us and when? For example, with tarot cards, you know, the minor arcana can represent personalities and so forth that you could possibly correlate to people in your life that you might, you know, identify. So can we do that with astrology too? And if so, how does that work?
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard. So swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Absolutely. That is the whole premise. And it can be used again in so many ways. And there are different styles or branches of astrology. So like for example, forensic astrology focuses on the crime scenes to understand, like, you know, if you're trying to find the murderer or you know, you want to find more information that's still in the dark, a mystery. And it would be the same for greater grand scale world events, where you can use astrology to predict. That would be called mundane astrology in general, when you're looking at events, world events, whether they have to do with war or just in general, just wide scale events. But definitely I would tend to look at, for example, in a chart where you are looking at either a personal enemy, or in forensic astrology, who is the perpetrator, you know, who is the rapist, the murderer, or in a grand sense, if you're looking at a chart of a nation, you would look often to the sign on the descendant of the chart, which is always opposite of the ascendant, because that position and the house that it rules, the seventh house, is the house of open enemies.
So how would we correlate, you know, the person with, you know, how do we zero in on that person? Would he be a particular, would we have to know his chart, have to do his chart too? And
if possible, if possible. Now, we don't always have the luxury, right? We don't always know so-and-so's sign or time of birth. If we do, we're at an advantage, you know, like anyone who has your chart information is at an advantage in some way, right? Whether they have positive or negative motivations. So there are so many different ways of approaching this. If we don't know the person's chart, you know, like there's a technique called orary astrology. That's like the astrology of the moment in which you ask a question, and that chart will give you clues about the who and the where and the why and the when and all of that sort of thing. And then there's planets, so that even if, say there's nothing in the seventh house, look to the ruler of the planetary ruler of the second house. Where is that planet? And what is that planet doing? You know, are there hard aspects or, you know, like that?
So let's say Saturn is in the seventh house or something like that. Would we look for someone that was born in the, in the ruling period of Saturn?
Did you hear that, Yeti? Oops, or did we lose
it? I lost the connection there for a few seconds.
Oh, yeah.
Supposing
Saturn is in the seventh house, mm-hmm. Would it be right to assume that the person that might be perpetrating upon us would be of the, I don't remember the astrological sign that Saturn rules, but he would be of that astrological sign?
Not necessarily. The planetary archetypes represent a lot of different sorts of tendencies and patterns that can exist in any sign. But it would show you a quality. For example, if it was Saturn describing a person or an enemy, it could tell you that either this person is an authority figure of some kind, or they are an elder, or that they are like kind of cold and calculating. Cold would be a Saturnian quality, or it could be all of the above. It could be some combination. We have to look not just at the planet. We have to look at the sign, the house, the aspects being made for, and just together, it's like weaving everything together to tell the story. And that gives you the full picture of what's going on.
Okay, I'm starting to get the idea. Thanks.
Good deal. At the same time, Yeti, you talk about the zodiac as is a reflection of inner process, but is also the planet. It sees the planet as living, breathing entities. And you bring in, of course, very cool concept of the shadow astrology, which is the Titans, who are they haven't gone anywhere, have they? Tell us about our friends, the Titans.
They definitely still exist, both probably literally and definitely, you know, in the underworld and then the metaphorical underworld of our subconscious. All of these beings enacting their myth in our lives, because just as Carl Jung, you know, talks about the different myths that we are living, I think of it in the same way. And so in that sense, it doesn't matter what we call them. They all have a slightly different personality, just as the Greek and the Roman deities have slightly different personalities. They're very similar, like Venus, Aphrodite, Hermes, Mercury, you know, they're very similar, but they do have their differences. And so I did bring that up because it's especially relevant to those beings, to the underworld, what we've shoved down there in the basement, so to speak. And the more we shove something down there and make it taboo or try to ignore it, the more there's this struggle for it to make itself known somehow. And so that can make itself known in the tension that we experience in our bodies or in our relationships or in the explosive world events.
Indeed. Well said. Benz, I see some super chats. Do you want to bring them in?
Sure, we can do that. First of all, Nico Lazyfarer. Am I reading it correctly?
L-A-C-Farer.
How's that? How does one handle being labeled mentally ill as a method of dehumanizing you and your thoughts? The malice is astounding by deluded, hostile normies.
Okay. Well, yeah, I've witnessed that, and I've actually experienced that, and as a child, and it was very painful. Again, my first response to that is self-knowledge, self-containment, building up a reservoir of energy. And I talk about this a little bit in my book, that anything that we can do to build our life force energy, as the Eastern philosophists call it, as every tradition calls this energy something different, like Chinese medicine calls it qi, and the Hindus call it prana, and I think that the Hawaiians have a label mana, you know. So if you develop that energy inside of your being, and also inside of your body, because it's all connected, right? We can't separate. While we're here on this earth in the flesh, we cannot separate one process or part of ourselves from the other. And it really is a matter of cultivating so much strength and resilience inside of oneself that any of that nonsense just, you know, slides off like water off a duck's back. It doesn't touch you. It's laughable, because the less you take it seriously, the less it's going to get under your skin. It's also understanding where the other person is coming from, most likely a place of insecurity, ignorance, you know, a whole lot of other things that they're not self-aware people. That's why they have to project so heavily onto other people that they perceive as less than or even feel intimidated by, you know. So you could even take that as a compliment and be like, well, thanks. I'm sick in the head. Great.
That's why I like Jungian psychology, because Jungians always call it depathologizing pathologies. In other words, there's nothing wrong with you. We all have different shadow, different trauma, different complexes. And these are dealt in a way that we communicate with them and we can use them to our advantage, both to deal with the world and to heal. And everybody's different. No, there's nothing wrong with you, whether you're schizophrenic or you're a man or a woman or gay. It doesn't, no. These are simply aspects of the soul. And these are avenues for individuation. So being shamed by it, it's a complete red herring. It's BS. There is nothing wrong with you. And you simply, you know, from a Jungian way, you just got to listen to what your trauma is saying, your pain is saying, your past is saying, your ancestors are saying, your parents. Yeah, it's very loud in everybody's head. So it's not like one person is crazy. We all have busy heads because the universe is speaking to us at every second. It is giving us information because it wants the best for us and it wants us on a certain path. Same with our ancestors. Our wounded child, even our parents, if they failed us, they want things to work in the grand scheme of things because their karma, their stairway to heaven depends on their descendants fixing things. So sorry I got onto this rant, but it makes me like you, it makes me angry. Like there's nothing wrong with Yeti or Vance or Miguel or anybody else. We're fine. We just need that language, right, Yeti? Exactly. Astrology, tarot, magic, meditation. We need that language to speak.
I agree completely.
Supposing we do have a hang up or something, supposing we're paranoid about something or someone, supposing we think someone's out to get us when they're really not. That's, you know, maybe we're not mentally ill per se, but that's a form of mental dis-ease, right? Because we're uneasy about something. So maybe astrology could help us heal from things like that.
It's often based on things that we've learned, false notions, or just simply perceptions that don't really serve any positive function in our life.
Misinterpretation of people's actions. Like if they're having a problem and we take it to heart, we take it personally, for example.
Mm-hmm. And I know that it's easier said than done because I've been down that road myself, but also there's nothing like coming to your own conclusion. It's just similar to when you stretch at a muscle that's been all locked and tangled up, causing you so much pain. It's great to get a massage or have some, you know, a practitioner like a chiropractor, you know, get that knot out. But it's so fulfilling and satisfying when you're able to do that yourself. Like you're able to look in the mirror or ponder the lie that you've been told that you assimilated and identified with, whether it was that you were sick or mentally ill or that you couldn't do something, and you look at it for what it is and you strip it down to, oh, all this is a layer upon layer of perception and projection and things I've identified with. That is not who I am. That is not what is real. So it's like asking yourself, what is true? You know, what is actually possible? Living in the questions of what is possible instead of assuming that's it, better just deal with it. How limiting is that?
Yeah.
Very true.
Well, Astrox, Anon, our friend Anon, has asked a very difficult question. Really spurs the imagination. If and when our species does reach other star systems having their own planets, how will our solar-based astrology adjust to those new points of reference and different transients? Whole new charts? And I might add, well, supposing the constellations aren't even the same, that we're so far away. course, many places the constellations would be probably look similar.
Yeah,
that is beyond me. I don't even have an answer to that question.
Yeah, we're down here. We're soaked with different cosmic energies. And the, you know, we are where we are. And
yeah, we are where we are. I have no idea.
Luke Skywalker looks at two moons and he probably has a different chart than energies hitting him. So,
In our system of our systems of astrology have evolved and have been developed by ancient civilizations and have been carried forth over a long period of time. And the myths that are associated with them, same deal. So if you go off to another star system and so forth, and there's different planets and so forth, gosh, you're starting from ground zero. So maybe it might take 20,000 years, you know. But it's an interesting thing to ponder, isn't it?
Yeah, too bad it's not the 70s. You could just write a cool pulp novel, 100 pages, about somebody going another planet with and doing astrology differently.
Wow.
There's so much we still don't really know about our own planet and how it relates to the luminaries. And so I don't like to make assumptions. I'm just kind of an eternal student, or at least as long as I'm alive in this body, I'm just looking with wonder at all of it, at all of the synchronicity, and it's remarkable. I can't even imagine what comes beyond this, but it must be pretty spectacular.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, again, 90% of the oceans have not been explored. Even recently, there is scientific research that, yes, when there is a full moon, both men and women act crazier, you know, even though it makes no sense because the light's not even real, you know, it's the same moon, somehow there's a power there. And so we are still just babes when we're trying to
tidal forces, in. You know, tidal forces, they're strong. I've been watching Deadliest Catch, and man, on a super moon, they're really messed up. Because the moon is closer on a supermoon. Mm. It's bigger and it exerts more force. So there's at least that. But people didn't acknowledge that for a long time. The scientists, that's impossible, you know.
Superstitious fool.
Billions and billions of planets, and the moon is one of them.
He used to believe in UFOs before it started making money. Unfortunately, making money makes you very ignorant, right, Vance? They pay you not to know things and to stop believing in the data.
You got to make the sponsors happy, right?
Shampoo companies, pharmaceuticals. Yeah. But I love it. But Yeti, also something you want to you discuss in your book really well, because again, both in astrology, you lay it all out, but you also lay in other sections how to stop psychic attacks. For those that might not be, you know, like me, that knows astrology, but you talk about possession. And of course, we talk about, our own mind is our greatest enemy and our greatest friend. That's why, you know, the Greeks made Hermes the god of the mind and the tricks, because our mind is the great trickster that is there to lie to us half of the time, but tell us to find the truth the other half. And it creates its own demons. But spirit possession, you would say, is very real. And what are the stages of it? Or tell us about your book and that section, which I found fascinating.
Definitely. It happens more often than a lot of people might think. And there are different grades of it. There are different types of possession. Some are more serious than others, I guess you could say. Because just because a person might be possessed, so to speak, it doesn't mean that they're possessed by a demon. A lot of people could become possessed by an incarnate, a person who's just kind of latched on to them. And you see that a lot with people who are addicts, you know, whether it's very common with alcoholics, actually. But there's a lot of different types of drugs that can leave this sort of opening for entities to just kind of latch on. And that's one type of possession. You know, I don't think there's a clean cut, easy way of describing possession for all people in all stages, because it's like a sickness. Each person is unique. All of our chemistry is different, how people react. But there are certain telltale signs, right? And one of those signs is a change in the personality. Sometimes you'll see physical changes taking place. People will start having cravings. You know, people might just start to act erratically, violently, as they become more and more the vessel for the entity that is working its way through them. And then there are people who, for whatever reason, they've sort of given up, thrown in the towel. And I don't know if you've heard this term of a walk-in, but some people say, oh, I'm not here anymore. I'm a walk-in and I killed myself a long time ago. Something else came in. That's one way of looking at it. So they become a host, you know, for something else. And there are cases of actual demonic attack. I do mention that in the book. Mm-hmm. And people could become vulnerable for different reasons. One reason is just stupidity, you know, being in the wrong place at the wrong time and testing fate and seeing, it's like, what happens if I press that button over there, you know, and you mess in with some entities, you really shouldn't be doing that, you know, because you think it's a game. And next thing you know, it's following you home and you're having straight up nightmares and attacks, and it takes a lot to shake it off. Other times, there really has to be this opening of a weakness or a hole. You know, an entity can't gain entry into anybody's psychic space. There has to be some sort of pre-existing hole or invitation, whether that invitation is conscious or subconscious, you know, and a lot of times this happens in hospitals. You know, hospitals, prisons. Actually, I'd say hospitals are pretty like a hotbed for possession, because a lot of people are entering and exiting. People are very sick. They're medicated, and the medicines they're on are also leaving them very vulnerable to psychic attacks.
Oh, wow. And what about dreams? What part do dreams play in the psychic attacks or even defenses?
A lot of entities will enter in through the dream time. Some people would say in or on the astral plane, that the experiences of get sort of intermingled for a lot of us with our dreams. So we have bits and pieces of where we've been that night with things we imagined, whether it was horrible or fantastic or just, you know, weird and, you know, nonsensical. Right. But I've had this happen to me a lot, especially in the past, not so much in recent times, but in the past, when I was suffering from illness, I had a lot of dreams of being attacked by entities, chased by demons that wanted to kill me. So I was always fighting for my life, or they were chasing me. And then I would wake up in that semi-paralyzed state. A lot of people have that state of dream paralysis, where their eyes are fully open, but they can't move. And that is a time when a lot of entities will mess with people, because the fact that you can't move, you know, so they'll come and mount you, you know, your chest, and they might take different forms. A lot of entities that are attacking will be shapeshifters. And I'm not saying that all shapeshifters are negative or evil or whatever, but a lot of ones that are negative will do that. So that's one way of, because they don't want you to, it's just a way of them messing with your mind and making it difficult to pin them down. So I don't know if that answers your question.
No, that's a good answer. Very good answer. My daughter had a horrible nightmare 2 days ago, and she still hasn't got over it. She had a surprise dream of a clown. This clown was threatening her, so we had to look it up, and it's a clown of this cartoon show called Gumball. And I looked at this clown, and we're both researching this clown, and found out it's not even a clown. It's a soul-eating ghoul that reveals itself as a cartoon ghost. And my daughter she's terrified. And so it's hard to, and my daughter, the 8-year-old, she's the one that has like a witch side. Like, she will say something and they come true all the time. I mean, sometimes I know how my week's going to go, what she tells me in the morning. So she'll predict.
Sounds like she's getting her training early.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I'm not, I let her go on her own. She should have her avenues of expression and really see where it goes. So, but yeah, I wonder what kind of entity she saw, because she does see things that are there. Like my wife sees shadow people every day. It's part of her.
I'm sorry, there were a couple seconds that got cut off there, but I was just saying, sounds like she's getting her training early, and she'll become a master at dealing with all that as she grows older.
Indeed. So any questions on your end, Vance? Hey, shining crazy diamonds. Please subscribe for the second part of this interview. It certainly helps grow this Red Pill cafeteria. What's more, beyond getting the second half, you get content earlier and don't have to worry about flapdoodle commercials here or on other public platforms. So please become a Red Circle sub, Patreon, or AB Prime member for the full consciousness expanding gnosis. At Patreon, I have tiers as low as $1 or $3 a month. And at Red Circle, it's a clean $4.99 a month to stream all full shows. All subs include a dedicated private stream that works on most apps. Don't forget the Gnostic Tarot, which is selling well and optimizing spiritual growth based on the feedback I've gotten, and the Virtual Alexandria Academy. I can't do it without you. Thanks for being here. Thanks for being yourself, your true self, here in the desert of the real. Hello and goodbye, as always.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.